This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Thank you so much for being here again. Welcome back to Hannah Worldwide and Friends, the podcast where traveler, experts, and adventurer share their stories. If you want to learn about what it's like living in another country, you want to experience a new culture, or you just love to travel, this podcast is for you. Or maybe you need to get out of your comfort zone, and this podcast might be the inspiration you need. You can find me on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hi everyone, please welcome back with me Annie Champalia from the US, but this time she's not in New Zealand, she is in Australia. Annie has moved just a few weeks ago, or is it days even?
3 weeks. It's been 3 weeks already. 3 weeks. I think so, yeah.
Wow. To Australia and was facing interesting challenges, but she has also been on episode 15 already and was talking about her move from the US to New Zealand. And I was just so curious to hear how things are going because there seemed to be some challenges along the way that she did not think would be there too. And it would be just really cool to see and share because I actually thought it should be easy, right? Moving from New Zealand, one island, to Australia, to the other island. They are like brothers and sisters and should be easy. But today we can hear that that's not always the case. So welcome back, Annie. Thank you so much for having some time and to talk to me from the beautiful Australia.
Hi, Hannah. So good to chat again. You know, we keep in contact pretty regularly, though. We're old co-workers, yes, from two companies, so we've always been chatting back and forth.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so good to be able to actually also share what's going on right now, because it sounded pretty difficult or just not straightforward when we last talked. So
I think it's the same with the challenges with moving to any country. But as you get, I feel like, older and more established in your career and a relationship, there's just more complexities that come with it. Meanwhile, when you jump countries or you're traveling in your early 20s and you're just staying at any hostel, you're taking any, you know, job, it doesn't really matter to you, you just make it work. Whereas now we're kind of trying to do it in a more structured way. So maybe that's why it feels a bit more difficult. And I do feel like New Zealand, at least in 2018, I'm not sure how easy it is now. It was so easy to come into. I mean, do you remember your working holiday visa? Was it approved, you know, immediately or almost immediately?
Yeah, and you pretty kinda, much.
Yeah, you can get your tax number ahead of time. You can open a bank account ahead of time. I remember we wired money from the U.S. and that was kind of it. And then, yeah, I just remember getting there and driving to a bank, opening it up. And that was, I just remember it being so easy, but maybe I am just forgetting the hard parts as well. But with Australia, you can't, at least online, from my own research that I've done, a lot of the admin stuff you aren't allowed to do until you're in the country, like your tax number and all these, you know, licenses, any of the other admin stuff, opening bank accounts and stuff, you really have to be in the country. To do all those things and then to transfer your license over, you need a point of address, which I also can't remember if I had in New Zealand. Maybe I did. But you need many points of address. So if you're trying to move to Australia and you don't have a point of address, that can be really difficult. More than difficult. Yeah. You can't do it. You have to have a point of address. And when you're moving, if you don't have a place to live yet, then you kind of have to use a friend's address. You have to have connections. So, yeah, that's probably been the biggest thing, is having the points of address. So we've actually been using a friend's address. We're not even living there at the moment.
Yeah. What do you mean with, like, many points of address?
We needed to do our licensing, and my partner's a truck driver, so it was really important for us to start work and everything. He needed to have these licenses transferred over. Yeah. We needed a phone plan that had an address on it. We needed a passport with our printed visas on it that we had to call the immigration and get. We needed our tax file number, which came in with our address on the mail. We needed a debit card that came in with the address printed on it, and a letter from the bank with our address printed on it. So that's what I mean by points of address. There had to be five of them to get our license. And then I went to get my license and they said my visa didn't match my passport. So just things like that, that take a lot of time. So if you're expecting to hop the ditch and start working immediately and stuff, there's just a lot of stuff that takes, you need to make sure you have the funds and a place to stay, because it takes, I mean, I'd say a solid month at least to get going, unless you're in a position where you were maybe poached from overseas with a specific job. You know, that does happen. Didn't happen to us. So we came over without jobs, because we had been told that they don't typically hire unless you're boots on the ground in the country. So we kind of came pretty open with not much planned or scheduled and just trying to figure it out.
Right. I think I remember when I came to New Zealand that I needed a point of address as well. And I just used the hostel I stayed frequently.
Oh, did you?
I think that's what I did.
Yeah, because, I think people do that. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're right. There's not any place, like even if you drive around in a camper van, what address would you give, right?
Yeah, there's for just, mail, anything. Yeah.
Yeah. So I get that. But I think I chose the hostel because that was a place I was the longest pretty much. So
And how long did you stay in the hostel?
I was there for 4 or 5 days before I went to Hamilton for the first time to check out my job. Okay. So therefore, I think there was enough time. But I have to say that was only needed, I think, for the opening a bank account and stuff, because then I walked across the street, around the corner, which had the place, the bank, and I just set up everything, and it was easy. I remember very easy. You just go there, you have that address where they could send something to, and I could easily go and get a plan for a phone card and stuff, because I remember my actual first permanent, semi-permanent address was in end of November. So from September till then, I didn't really have a place. But during that time, I already sorted out a bank account. I sorted out the phone number and everything. So it was clearly easier than what you currently experience.
Yeah, maybe it's gotten harder. I mean, we both immigrated in 2018, right? Maybe it has gotten harder. I don't know. Australia is a huge country, so maybe they are just more strict about things. I'm not sure, but yeah, the biggest saving grace for us has been that we're house sitters, so we've been able to, we used our friend's address as our point of address, but we, to save money, we've just been house sitting, and we use two apps, two different websites that we're members of, to just hop from house sit to house sit while we do all the other annoying admin stuff, like getting licenses figured out. And we've got a bunch of resumes out, and my partner has a course that he needs to attend next week. So having house sitting as an option has saved us thousands and thousands of dollars. 'Cause that's another big one. And I do know, just like anywhere, there's a huge housing crisis here. So finding an apartment takes time in general, because there's so many people going for the same rentals. So we knew that was already going to be an issue. Some people I know in New Zealand are paying for relocation agents, which we briefly looked into, but we realized it wasn't for us. So you can pay for someone and give them almost like a resume of your rental history, and they'll try to secure a rental for you. I don't know anything about that, but I do know that's becoming more common here, because immigration since COVID is insane. Mostly Kiwis, UK, and Ireland. I will apologize for the Jurassic Park dinosaur birds that are everywhere. They're very loud. But so there's a lot of immigration here right now, which makes the rental properties even more competitive. So having someone kind of doing that work for you is probably worth the money. But since we had a background of pet sitting and house sitting, that was our backup. So we never ended up hiring a relocation agent. But if you're moving a family, if you own a house in New Zealand, that whole thing, it probably is absolutely worth the money to hire someone to do that dirty work for you, because it is, you're going to be spending so much money on an Airbnb to just try to get settled. So
that's probably the hardest part.
Yeah.
Fair point. And I'm glad that you mentioned the house sitting as well, because you have been house sitting in New Zealand a lot as well. And you have been saving quite a lot of money. And then you went traveling in Europe for quite a while. And it's such a great option to do house sitting. Can you share your experience with that? And also, you mentioned already how it helped you in Australia now. But just to bring the point across again for people who are actually considering going to another country, how you can set up house sitting, what it actually means, because usually there are pets involved. And so just a little explanation around the house sit, because I'm pretty sure a lot of people sometimes wonder, how can I do low cost travel or low cost relocation or whatever, but don't necessarily want to stay in hostels or don't really want to go or feel safe in those environments. So I think house sitting is a great opportunity to just do it as well.
Absolutely it is. And it's really on the rise right now. It's completely changed within the last, since COVID, like everything, right? When I first started pet sitting, I was still nannying in like 2019. People were still paying for house sitters and we were still getting paid whenever I did it. And that was just something extra that I did for extra money. It's completely changed into a free exchange mostly. So it's become less common for people to pay for pet sitting. So now it's almost like a mutual, you take care of my property and animals, and in return, you get to stay there for free, which to some people is probably crazy. But if you're traveling, that is your biggest expense is accommodation. So it's a huge thing. So we use Trusted House Sitters as our main website. And then depending on what country we're in, there's also another branch called either Kiwi House Sitters, and then there's Aussie House Sitters. They're their own branches, depending on what country you're in. So we used, you pay for membership. It's not that expensive, and it's definitely cheaper than one night at an Airbnb. And you make a profile. It literally looks like a dating profile. and people can review you. So that's the big thing, is people trust these sites more than, say, Facebook, because you're reviewed and you also are paying for verification. So they check your identity. So people feel safer that way as well. And it's been great. And then afterwards, you as the pet sitter can review them. So you can say, the place was really dirty or whatever. It's just like an Airbnb account as well. You can rate each other, which works mutually for everyone. So basically you just put in anywhere you want to house sit in the world. And then you don't have to do your specific dates, but it lists whoever's looking for one. So sometimes you can work your vacation around what availability they need, but there's so many of them that you can really chop and change and travel depending on who needs a pet sitter. So that's what we've been doing in Australia. And if there is a day or two gap, we just stayed in Airbnb. It's still cheaper. So right now we're on a 3-day gap, and then we start another 15 days at a new house sit. And then I have another 2-day gap. And then I have another 10 days at a house sit.
Yeah.
And we'll keep extending that until we have an apartment, basically a flat. Yeah. So that's just how we're living at the moment. And we moved here with 2 suitcases and a guitar. So that also helps that we're not moving around so much stuff. Which was hard to do, but it does make it easier. And then the public transport here is definitely better than Auckland as well. So that makes it easier as well. The commuter train is really, really good. So we've been taking that a lot. But when we went to Europe, we weren't looking to house sit the entire time. It was more just to supplement the cost of things. So at the end of the day, we ended up getting about a month free out of 3.5 months of free accommodation. So that was still a huge chunk for us. And it was just kind of like, oh, that one looks cool in Portugal, we'll do 4 days there. Oh, that one's cool in England, we'll do 3 days there. And we just made sure that it was on the way for us. And it's cool because you get to experience a place, you know, that maybe is off the beaten track or isn't a place you'd normally go to, and it's really local, and you and you meet a lot of connections too. Like, we're still in contact with a lot of people, and a lot of people have given us so much good advice and, you know, offer help, you know, even finding jobs. And the connections that you make, especially if you're moving countries with house sitters, is incredible. So that's been super helpful for us. We've met two people so far who have been really helpful with us finding our next step. So, and you just, you talk to them on the phone and you meet them in person and you get a good vibe. If the vibe is off, you just, you have to kind of know people. And really, if the vibe is off, you don't take the job. You have to really be smart about that, because you have to be safe. So you just have to be, you know, self-aware and aware of how people can be, and just feel out the situation, make sure the reviews are normal and good. But I feel like you can get a really good vibe off people just by meeting them and seeing their house in general. So we've never had any bad experiences.
That's really awesome.
Knock on wood. Yeah.
Touch wood. Especially you have been doing it for so long now and so many places. To say that you haven't had a bad experience yet is great, because you know it could have been, but also because you go through websites that are verified and that actually give reviews and stuff, I think you will mainly find people who are actually looking after their home, and that's why they look for someone who takes care, right? Because they want someone who is also good and reliable and safe to stay in their place. And what are the requirements? Because it sometimes sounds a little bit too good to be true. And especially when you say you pretty much saved a whole month of accommodation traveling Europe. That's amazing. That's so much money you save. What are the most common pets you will find, and what are the requirements? So will it bind you to the place? Can you actually do a lot, or do you have to stay there at home all the time because of the pet? How does that look like?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely something that's part of the job to be aware of. When we were house sitting throughout New Zealand, when we were working at the same company and it was all work from home. So people love people that work from home if you are local. So that wasn't an issue on my side, because throughout New Zealand, I was just simply working from home. But I was always straight up to them and said, hey, once in a while, I do have to go into office. If this happens, what do I do? And they were always cool with it. It was, you know, some sort of situation was worked out. Most of the time, it was all good. Kiwis are so chill in general about their pets. It's not like, I feel like in America, people are a bit crazier about those kinds of rules. Where in New Zealand, they're like, oh, yeah, they'll be fine. Just like leave them outside with food and water and shelter, and they're fine. They're fine all day. Like, it's not that easy at home. We do, especially if we know it's going to be traveling or busy. I mean, a cat is the gold standard. Incredible. You can be gone all day, easy. And a lot of dogs are easy too. But if it's a high needs animal and we're traveling, that's not a job we would take. We just wouldn't, do it. There's not as many high needs as you would think. Some people have horses and livestock, and those would be places that, you know, maybe if they're in rural Italy and it's beautiful and you can go hiking nearby, that would be cool. If it's not, then it's probably not worth our time to be staying there. So it's just what you're after. We never did any high needs situation, you know, where the dog has to go out every 2 hours. We never did anything like that while abroad. So you just have to be what you're, if you're working from home and you don't care, then you can take on a high needs animal. So it's just a question to be asking, but we've never had any issues with it, but we've always been super transparent in both ways about it.
I think that's coming always back to communication, right? Always. You know what you want and what you need and what you can offer, and they can communicate what they need. And then if it's a good fit, you go ahead. And as you said, you had great connections. And I guess even if you go to Portugal, for example, as you said, and you stay there for 4 days, sometimes when you are, especially when you're traveling through Europe, sometimes you don't want to, if you have unlimited time, let's put it this way, not if you have only a week to see certain places, but if you say we are not in a rush and we want to see this place, then of course it's easier to stay in one place and even explore during the day just a village nearby or a city next.
Yeah. Do your laundry if you're traveling long term, just a place to chill for a few days, do some admin, especially if you're traveling for a while. There are days that you need to kind of decompress and not be hurry. I only have a week to see everything in Europe. So yeah, so that's what we used. We used those house sits as our decompression time, you know, get emails done that we needed to, do our laundry, relax, and see something local. It wasn't a time where we would be, you know, staying in the middle of Rome and also needed to see Rome at the same time. Like it was never those kinds of situations. And then to get jobs is pretty competitive though. So you need to kind of start out, which is easy to start out. You just have your friends or people that trust can review you. And then the more reviews you have, and then you're getting other ones as you start getting jobs. And then after you have, you know, 5 reviews, you're way more applicable. You're more, what's the word?
They want to.
They want you
way
more. Yeah.
More likely. Yes.
Yeah. The more reviews you have, the more likely you're going to get the job, because you do have to have notifications on, and it's pretty competitive because so many people are doing it now. But once you get the hang of it, I mean, it is like a part-time job. Yeah. If you're doing it seriously, then it is like a part-time job. You have to be one of the first applicants. You have to be really out there and have the good reviews. So, but it's worth it. You're saving so much money that I feel like that's worth the effort to be acting like it's a part-time job.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sounds like it. I mean, if you can manage to stay in a new country where you haven't figured it out yet and you can save the accommodation costs, which is, as you said, the main cost for everyone, it's like, that's just such a big thing. So thank you so much for explaining it a bit more, because I'm pretty sure some people think, oh, not a problem, you know, I can easily get into it.
Or take some effort.
And also because we talk about house sitting, right? Not everyone realizes that it's actually with pets also.
It typically is with pets. It's just the names of the websites are usually house sitting, but it is typically with pets. It's technically pet sitting usually. I'm sure there are some people without pets, but we've always had. It's mostly pets to some degree. Right.
Yeah, it's definitely super interesting. I've tried it once and I had a great experience.
Oh,
I have to say the house where I went to wasn't that clean, but the dog was so friendly, and I love dogs, and my friend that I went with loved dogs, and we just had a blast taking the dog everywhere. We just would go on walks, explore the city, and would just have the dog with us all the time, and we just loved it. And
then
we would take pictures, send it to the owner, and they felt really happy and safe because we showed them we take care of the dog. And so it was a great experience. So I can see the benefit of it a lot. And as you said, like, you do it now because you have no accommodation in the new country, you just moved. I did it to just have 3 days in a city away. Like, it can be just like a getaway pretty much,
where
you don't spend money.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. Yeah.
Even if it's local, for sure, it can be just a getaway, you know? Or if someone has a cat in the middle of New York City, it's like, perfect. Now I get to go and stay like one of the most expensive places in the world, because they're everywhere. Everywhere are they on that website. So you go and take care of a cat, feed it in the morning, go explore the city. So
yeah,
it's great.
Awesome. So now, since the accommodation bit, once you find a place, which will happen at one point, but with the house that it's taken care of, what is currently your biggest challenge to sort out?
Ooh, probably a tie between accommodation and a job, because we got the admin out of the way, because we weren't as, you know, sellable if we didn't have all the admin, the tax numbers and everything done, and didn't have licenses and stuff. Now that that's kind of mostly done, my partner is closer to a job than I am, just because he's about to finish his licensing. But now I am going to be working with recruiters for hopefully an animal science job, an animal health job. I'd love to get into vet sales, that kind of thing. It's really hard to start over in a new country without connections again. I did this in New Zealand. You know, you leave the place where you have the connections, as I'm sure you remember, you know, you have your connections in Germany, and connections are everything right now to get a job. Everything. You know, it's so hard to be one of the hundreds of people applying on Seek for one job. Who you know is your number one way of how you get a job. And I finally got there in New Zealand and then I left.
Yeah. So
I feel like that's going to be the hardest bit, is I don't have the connections here, which is a bit stressful. But as long as one of us is working with an income, and Dan should be working, you know, fairly soon with, he's a trucker. So it hopefully will not take as long as I'm thinking. If it does, then I'll take a temporary job in the meantime. You know, I've played this game before of hopping countries. We love experiencing new cultures and new countries. So I came into this knowing what I was getting into. So none of this is a surprise. It's a challenge, but not a surprise. And I think it's healthy and good to be experiencing stuff like this, where you just have to figure it out because you have no other choice but to figure it out. So
yeah.
So we'll figure it out and we'll see how it goes with the recruiters, and we'll see how it goes. And then after we have both contracts, it should make our life easier with finding the apartments or finding a flat. But again, we have the pet sitting where we won't be homeless. Like, we always will have a place to be. So
we're still
figuring out. It's still so early days. So don't have it down to a science yet, but we're getting there.
Yeah, but I think that's a great thing that you now show as well. You don't always have to have it all figured out.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, of course, I can understand the people who have never done it before and they need to have that security, because it is scary, and to be able to trust that everything will work out and that you will always land on your feet without having experienced a situation like that and figured out, okay, there's always a solution, there's always a way, then where should that trust come from, right? Because, you have been through it already. You have experienced challenging situations, and you have experienced, you will always find a way around things. But it's great now that you guys can just go. And you know that you will never be homeless. You will always find a way to have an accommodation, even though you might not have a lot of money there. But with a house sit, it's just such a great opportunity to save money, to be safe and not homeless. And finding a job and everything is then the next step. But was there anything that you thought should have been easier, especially coming from New Zealand, which is right next to it? And it's kind of a country that exchange with Australia a lot, and Australians come to New Zealand, more New Zealanders go to Australia. Is there anything that actually surprised you?
That's a good question. I think with how long everything took to come in the mail, I was surprised by that. And I was thinking, what it is with Kiwis is, I do think a lot of Kiwis moved based on their connections to Australia. Like, Kiwis are moving to Perth because they've got a mate in Perth and they can stay with that mate and figure it out. They moved to Brisbane because one of their best mates is in Brisbane and they can figure it out. So I do think Kiwis like that comfort that so many Kiwis are in Australia. That's why they're moving back and forth. Someone's already done it. So we do have two friends in Perth, but one's in the mines. You know, we're not staying with them. And another one is a friend who's, you know, renting a room in an apartment. So we're not staying with them. So I do think that the ease in which Kiwis are moving to Australia, a lot of them do have several connections here already. That's tough. I think it's easier for us as well. We didn't have a house and things to sell in New Zealand to move here. We didn't have a dog. We didn't have children. So it was easier because it was just us physically moving to a country, whereas a lot of people have a lot more things at stake to deal with when they move countries. So I don't know. I feel like that things taking longer to come in the mail and to get things moving, I think, took me by surprise. But at the end of the day, I feel like 3 weeks does feel like 3 years when you're in a position like this, when you're in limbo. So it probably feels like I've been here longer than I have. So I do anticipate finding an apartment or a flat is going to be quite difficult, just from what I've seen on Facebook pages and how many people are going for each flat because they don't have enough flats in Perth to keep up with the immigration. Yeah. So haven't experienced it yet, but I do anticipate that that will be our biggest shock. So stay tuned. Yeah. That might be really hard. It just depends what trade you're in. It depends what job, how in demand your job is coming over. But yeah, Kiwis are in a really good position. They don't have to do anything. They come off with a passport. It's all connected to your passport. There's no physical visa for them. They don't have to do anything. They just have to sign up for Medicare. That's their healthcare sorted. And it's really an interesting exchange. It's a little bit more different for me because I'm on a 461 relationship visa here. So I have full working rights, but it's not completely an exchange like it is for Kiwis.
Yeah.
So my visa is based off the fact that my partner is a Kiwi and can legally come here. So it's all a bit of a new challenge. And the main reason everyone is coming here is simply for the salary reasons. Unfortunately, New Zealand is having a hard time keeping up salary-wise with what Australia can pay. And if, your nursing degree, your teaching degree, if all that kind of thing is accepted over here, you can't blame them for wanting to make, 20 to 40% higher salary in another country that you don't have to do any effort to get a visa to get into. So that's the main reason people are hopping the ditch. So, but that would be my next big challenge is the housing and the job.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
The biggest, probably.
The biggest one, but we'll see. I have faith.
I'm sure it will be fine. Hopefully. We will update each other. But you just brought up something really interesting because what has been your reason to move from New Zealand now to Australia?
I hate to say it, but it really is the salary. I do love experiencing new countries. I love living in new countries. Every country I've ever been to, I've always said, I can imagine living here for a bit. Getting into Europe is harder for me to get a visa, and Australia was just the next easiest step for me. Yeah. My partner and I both talked about it for years. We actually tried to move in 2020, and we got locked out 24 hours before our flight when COVID shut the borders, which was crazy. Yeah, and probably a blessing in disguise. So this has been a long time coming of us trying to come here. So it's two things. The main thing is salaries, trying to get ahead at our age, the next step, pushing forward in our careers, but knowing that we'd also be being paid more for the same job. But also just a different experience in general. But saying that, I never felt cabin fever in New Zealand. I never felt trapped. I never felt, I love New Zealand. I'll probably live there again one day. I absolutely love it. And I'd love to live in different locations in New Zealand. It's not out of a dislike for New Zealand. We absolutely love it there. It's just, sometimes you need to try something new for different reasons in a new place. But no hate on New Zealand ever. I absolutely love it there. So, and I'll get citizenship there at some point one day, but it's on hold for now.
I can obviously relate to the fact that with traveling around and experiencing new countries and cultures, that's absolutely it opens my heart, it fills my cup. So I can totally relate. Yes. I love it too. I don't necessarily need to move countries just yet, but I can understand the emotion behind it so much.
It's so thrilling. And,
but I also remember when you went to travel in Europe for 3 months, you did mention that you even miss New Zealand a little bit. So when you now think of home, do you think of New Zealand or do you think of the US?
Oh, I still always say I feel like Hannah Montana. I always say that. Neither one feels more like home than the other. It just feels like I've been split in half.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely. Neither feels more home than the other. My adult life has mostly been in New Zealand and my career growth has been in New Zealand. And I have, friends, family, New Zealand, not blood family, but, and then I'm still have all my home friends that I keep in contact with in America. My uni years, university years were in America. my family is in America. All my family is in America, like my blood family. So just completely split, two different lives cut at 22, both are the same. And I still love America. America is going through some growing pains, but it's always part of my home. It's always, you know, part of me. Yeah. It's not something that I ever had ever wanted to distance myself from for any reason other than trying something new. So I love both countries. I love, and I love Australia. No hate on any of them. Love them all for different reasons. They're just so different.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually curious to see when I ask later on about Australia, once you have been living there for a little bit, if you just exactly feel the same way, if it's really just your heart splits in different aspects, or let's not split. Let's say it just adds on a little piece rather than splitting it. But yeah, if it's like that, or if you actually maybe feel like, no, Australia never felt as much like home. It might, you never know, right?
Yeah, you'll have to come visit and see what you think too.
Would love that. I mean, already hearing the birds that sound like Jurassic Park.
I know. That's the craziest thing so far here. Everyone thinks the snakes are the spiders, but the birds are the size of a toddler screaming in your face. I feel like that's the scariest part so far. They're pretty crazy. I love that.
Oh my God. Is there anything you feel like you could possibly miss from New Zealand?
From New Zealand? Oh, gosh. I'm not sure yet.
Probably early. Too early.
Too early to tell. Landscape-wise, it's totally, totally different. So I might miss... I haven't been here in the dead of summer. Apparently, it is insanely hot. You know, way over 40 degrees, way over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. So... I might be missing the weather in New Zealand come summertime, but right now in the shoulder season, it's absolutely gorgeous. So that might be the biggest thing I miss soon, is how mild the weather is in Auckland, because it is super mild. But other than that, I'm not sure yet. Yeah. I don't know. They still have beautiful beaches here. So who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
To be determined.
I'm sure, like, even though New Zealand has beautiful beaches, I think Australia is just a different level, different, like so much bigger that it's like an island, but like both are islands, but it's just so much bigger and such a different vibe. Even the bigger cities in New Zealand are more like smaller town vibes than the big cities in Europe or in America. And Australia is probably more of the big life feeling again, while New Zealand is that.
It is. It's a bit like a South Pacific America. Like, it is much more, one of the biggest things I love about New Zealand is how it is so wholesome and old school in a way. But Australia is a bit more, up to date on, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's
a bit more modern in a way.
Yeah. They're more, everything you could ever need is right in front of you. And it's, I guess, more capitalist. I don't know. It's just, there's everything readily available, and everything is immaculate, and it's just a bit different.
Yeah,
like any place.
I get that.
Yeah.
What advice would you give someone who is currently going through the process of moving to Australia or wanting to move? Anything you think they should consider?
My biggest advice is, you don't grow unless there's adversity. So the biggest thing I can recommend is to make yourself uncomfortable. People don't move countries and be completely comfortable with it. They don't start a new job and be comfortable with it. Like, you have to make yourself uncomfortable to find like the true greatness that comes out of it. So that's my biggest advice. Make yourself uncomfortable.
I love that. And I 100% agree with that. So thank you so much, Annie. I'm so grateful that we got to catch up again and that you could share some of your insights. And I hope that everyone else could take something from it again. And I hope I see you next time.
Bye. Thank you so much, Hannah. Bye.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.